Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, Braves fans, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, Tegna, and our friends at the Odyssey Group. Locked On Podcast Network is dedicated to bringing you shows from all of your favorite teams across all of the major sports, whether that be basketball, college football, pro football, baseball, draft talk, you name it, we've got it here in the Locked On Podcast Network. On all of your favorite podcasting platforms, you can be kept up to date with all of your favorite teams and all the news and notes you need to know to rule the water cooler. Don't bother doing all the research yourself, just follow along with your favorite hosts, like and subscribe to your favorite channels, and you will be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops. Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. All right, so on a very rainy, dreary Monday, we had a nice little news dump come out about Dansby Swanson, Brian Snicker, and taking scheduled days off. And Freddie Freeman's name was entered into this. And this is something we've talked about with Freddie a lot over the past few seasons. This has been a talking point for Atlanta, for Brian Snicker, really since he took over the job. And I thought, rather than me tell you guys all of this stuff, as you guys have probably heard me talk about things ad nauseum, I thought I would go right to the source and bring in a big league player who can give the actual perspective of these players and kind of shed a little bit of light on this before people freak out thinking that somebody's being a bad leader or somebody's just being a bad coach or so on and so forth, kind of get into the mind of the ball player. And so for that end, I brought in one of my favorite players to talk to. He is currently wrecking shop over in Oklahoma, teaching a lot of kids the ins and outs of getting to major league swings. He is Lane Adams, former Atlanta Braves speedster extraordinaire. Lane, thank you for coming on, man.
Hey, Dylan, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Now, for anybody that doesn't remember, Lane, was there anybody aside from Ronald Acuna on the Braves that you could not beat in a foot race?
I'd smack Ronald Acuna in a foot race. What are you talking about?
Did you snap Acuna?
No, but I would.
Well, that is the confidence I like to hear.
But I'm pretty confident. He might. No, I'm getting my 30s now. He can move. So I'll give it to him. But yeah, no one else is touching me. I'll give it to Ronnie. He's better than everything else. Why not speed too? I guess.
Did you ever see Pache up close? I think I might have asked you this before.
Yeah, I did. I was fortunate to see Pache up close. He was super young, and granted, I don't know how young he is. He's really young. So I imagine, you know, he's only gotten more physical and just, you know, better athlete over the time just for maturity reasons. But no, I haven't seen him in person lately, but I have been following him. And he was always kind of someone I really liked when I first saw him. I was like, this kid's going to be pretty good. He can get to figure out. And it looks like he's starting to.
Yeah, it's actually kind of messing with me a little bit because now it looks like he's kind of copied the Dansby swing. And as I've been the guy that's been yelled at for being the Dansby hater, time or two here, it kind of brings a little bit of a different flavor for me, but it's always good to see that. Pache's been my guy for a while now, just the defense and that arm. I think you're kind of stupid if you try to run on him. You're not going to beat him. But it's fun to see when you got some of those guys coming up through the minors, guys like Michael Harris. Drew Waters will probably get a taste here next year at some point, even if this year's been a little bit off for him. But we're here to talk about the big league club. And before we dive into this article, I'm going to ambush you with a question real quick.
Okay.
Off the top of your head, not really thinking, how sure are you that Freddie Freeman is an Atlanta Brave next year?
I'm confident in it. I think he will be. I think he wants to be there. I think he's gonna. He's gonna give them benefit of the doubt. I think he's gonna hear what they have to say, and it's gonna be up to the Braves front office to, you know, match what he asked for any question. I think that he deserves to be there. He's earned whatever he's gonna take or make going forward. I think he wants to be there. So I would be shocked, surprised. I would be shocked if he's not in a Braves uniform next year.
For your money, having played with him, are there any other first basemen in baseball who are even close to Freddie Freeman?
Currently, as of late, no. I think Freddie's kind of the guy sitting at the top. There was Prime Votto. Votto had a pretty good year this year, but I think Freddie, I think it's safe to say Freddie is the, in my number one first baseman in baseball right now.
For sure, nobody gives a better hug, right?
No, they're pretty warm.
All right. That's exactly what we wanted to hear. Now, speaking about Freddie, the main point for this is this article that came out from Hannah Keyser from Yahoo Sports. And it was interviewing, talking to Dansby and Snit. Dansby's been in a little bit of a ride and struggle bus a little bit lately. A lot of thought could be, hey, maybe he needs a day off. If you look at the list of games played and the guys that have played the most games, you're going to find all three, really all four, if you count Ozzy outside of the little injury. All four of the Braves guys have essentially played in the infield, have played essentially every game that they've been healthy enough to play. And this is kind of the tone that comes off in the article there. I don't want to put words into Hannah's mouth or anything, but talking about kind of giving that thought of, hey, you need to be able to schedule guys off, but Freddie Freeman kind of keeps these guys in line and keeps them going out there and playing. And if you're not playing, you better have a legitimate reason. For Braves fans, this is kind of a little trigger warning. As we've seen in the past, some of the other teams have kind of looked like they've lost their legs a little bit come the postseason time, which, you know, if you play 158 out of 162 games, that's a lot of games on your body. So we kind of got a little split going on in the Twitter sphere right now, breaking down whether or not Freddie should be challenging these guys to play every day or whether what Freddie's doing is the right way. And if you're healthy, you need to play, period. Not a lot of people have gotten the player perspective on the whole scheduled days off and how you approach that as a player and what the mindset needs to be. So just speaking from your experience, we talked a little bit about this before the show. When you hear that about Freddie, you were in the dugout with him. So just to clear the air here, when that happens, it's not coming from any sort of a bad place, right? It's more of just a quick, easy challenge, right?
Oh, for sure. And Freddie, you know, one thing, Freddie plays to win. Every day he shows up, he's playing to win. And he wants the Braves to put out there the best chance, the best roster they can to win that day. And that's, you know, that's Freddie's goal. That was his goal every day. When I played with him. That's just how Freddie is, man. He's wired to win, and he wants, you know, guys up there like Dansby, Ozzy, and others, they give you a great chance to win. So Freddie wants those guys out there when he goes to lace them up that evening.
Now, does he do the same thing for the outfielders, or is it more of Freddie kind of runs the infielders and whether it was Markakis in your time or one of the outfielders controls the outfield, or is it pretty much Freddie is the unquestioned leader, period, whatever position you're on?
Freddie's without a doubt the leader of the team. You know, that's where all the eyes, you know, go to, and when things occur, you know, when the clubhouse needed needed to look to somebody, it was Freddie's the guy, you know, we look to. So his words carry a lot of weight, and you know, he leads by example. He's out there every day grinding, giving you, being professional, you know, 162 out of the year. He has such a high standard for himself that he expects his teammates to, play at a high percentage as well. So, and not everyone can reach Freddie's pedigree, but you know, just as far as the competitiveness in him, that's, you know, he wants and expects his teammates to be in it to win it just like he is. And there's no doubt that every time he shows up, he's playing to win.
I think that's an important thing to know, and I think that's an important thing to have from your leader. It's not just to go out there and be, you know, the best player on the team, or, you know, depending on when Ronald's healthy, the second best player, but to be like the focal point of the team. It's also about how you go about doing it. And I think that's one of the things that kind of gets understated with Freddie a little bit. He is the unquestioned leader of that team. Everybody does look to him. Everybody wants the answers from Freddie. When the teams are struggling, it's Freddie who's the one who's getting asked the questions about it. It's nobody else on the team. It's Freddie and it's Snit. But when you see him go about and leading, he's not this kind of in-your-face, yelling and screaming, pulling you by the scruff of your neck type of guy. Maybe this is just because, obviously, we don't see what happens in the locker room. And I have a hankering that you guys probably know when the cameras are on you a little bit in the dugout. I'm wondering if Freddie's a little bit different in the dugout, or if he's the same person in the dugout and in the locker room. If he's just that kind of going to cheer you on, but going to kind of set a standard and you're trying to match him without him trying to be kind of aggro about it.
No, he's the same guy through and through. That's why he has so much. That's why that's why everyone respects him, and that's why, you know, the 25th guy on the roster respects him, and that's why the, you know, the second guy on the roster respects him, because he's the same guy through and through. He's true. Like I said, he just plays to win. He's been, I think on that team, he might be the most long. He's the longest tenure Brave, I believe. And he has a lot. He still has a lot to play for. You know, he wants to play some winning baseball. He wants to play in the World Series. So he's just as competitive as any, you know, new, young, hungry, young rookie or young player, you know, fighting to, you know, survive in big leagues. Now, he's just as hungry as the other 24 guys walking in trying to prove themselves. Frey still got a lot to prove, and, you know, I'll be dang if he's not going to do what he can to, you know, prove that.
Taking a quick break from our interview with Lane Adams to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Get Upside. Hey, Braves fans, this is Dylan Short, host of Locked On Braves, with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every single time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right back to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50% or 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL for Get Upside in the iTunes or Google Play Store today. Today's episode is also brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one so you can stream all of your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your best friend's girlfriend's login for all of your more important needs and activities. Well, there is a way to clear out all the clutter. I'm here to tell you about it today. All the entertainment without all of that hassle. It's a great way to finally get your act together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about it at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. And I think this is one of this really kind of gets drug up in the point from the 2019 postseason, where Freddie came into it obviously hurt, to the point where he couldn't actually extend his arms and he couldn't cover the outer third of the plate. Now, you could say that the depth of the team was an issue where you did not feel that you had somebody behind him to where you could get... You're never going to get the same effect of having Freddie at first base. You can't just replace that, just like you couldn't replace Ronald. You can do as good as you can, and you could replace some of the things, but you can't replace the total sum. So I that part of the is one of the things that scares Braves fans, of like, oh, man, still kind of doing the same old thing here in a 162. Everybody's going to play 158-plus and going to go into the postseason dog-tired. Now, you were part of those teams that kind of played that aspect, and I think the tiredness aspect maybe gets a little overplayed, because maybe we don't just want to admit that, yeah, whether you're rested or dog-tired, the Dodgers teams are a little tough to manage either way, so maybe you're kind of looking for a little bit of an excuse built in. But as a player who's kind of been through there, and as somebody who enjoys the analytical aspect and can see the trends and the way that some of these other teams are going up business, teams like the Dodgers and the Giants and the Astros in their heyday, whether they're banging trash cans or not, but teams of that nature, how they go about giving guys days off. The Cubs were pretty revolutionary in this. There was a time a few years back when they weren't playing anybody more than 150 games. They were spreading them around in different areas of the field. Is that more of an effect of just your manager itself being dedicated to doing that? Or is that something that any team can really employ? Or do you have to have a specific type of makeup for the team to get that done?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to have guys buy into it. And it's hard to get guys buy into it because the competitive nature and everybody in the big leagues, especially in the big leagues, you know, that's the highest level of professional baseball. You know, they've fought and they've clawed to get there. And when they are healthy enough to feel like they should be playing and, you know, expect to be playing, and then you tell them, hey, we're going to give you a day. Like, this, the competitor inside of you doesn't, you know, is it's disappointing to hear that, whether it's for your own benefit or not. That's just the nature of the beast, and the players is we want to be out there. And we fought, we clawed, we've done everything we can to get those opportunities, and we want every opportunity we can get to go out there and prove ourselves in a major league role. So regardless of whether it's beneficial for the player or not, they're going to want to be out there. Dansby, I know, is probably going to want to be out there, especially when you're going through a little skid. Like, I personally, when I was skittish, the last thing I want to do is a day off, even though I probably needed a day off to kind of, get myself under control mentally and, chill.
Looks like I lost you for a second there.
A little bit of, but at the same time, you got to understand that, yes, we're trying to win today's game, but we're gonna need you throughout the whole course of the year. We don't want you blowing out and missing, 5, 6, 7 weeks when we could, give you a blow periodically every now and then to keep you fresh going into meaningful games in September and into October. So I think it's not what players want to hear, and we're gonna give you a blow here, but that I do think it is beneficial for teams to kind of make sure their guys, especially their dudes, give them a breather every now and then, whether the player likes it or not. I personally didn't like it when I got breathers, but it did. Who's to say that didn't keep me from blowing out in my career? It's hard to say.
And I think that's one of those areas that I'm a lot of people and myself, admittedly, are of the mindset that major league managers, you're not really managing more on the field. These guys are where they are for a reason. And it's kind of, hey, just get out of their way. Let them kind of do their thing. You're more managing things like how they feel coming into the day, pulling the right buttons at the right time. And really how you handle the clubhouse, I think, is more important than anything else as a manager. So when you're looking at a guy like Snit, who's an old school manager, and he admits this in the article too, how he's of that same mindset of Freddie's, that kind of old school mentality of if you're healthy, you're going to play. And if you're tired, oh well, fight through it. You got to play for your team and all that good stuff. How fine of a line is that to walk for somebody like Snicker, who is a huge player manager, when you've got your main guy like Freddie, who is so adamant about not sitting on the bench, and there's jokes running through about if he does have a day off, he just sits there and annoys Brian until he can get in the game, whether it's as a pinch hitter or not. How fine a line is that for a manager to walk before people just kind of assume that, oh, this is just an area that Snicker has to get better at, or just Snicker doesn't know what he's talking about? I kind of always had this thought that it is a fine line that you have to walk.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely a fine line you're walking in that, because you got one, those guys are going to give you the best chance to win. At the same time, you want to have those guys, they want to have them available. The best ability is availability. So it's definitely a fine line to watch, but that's kind of the manager's job. And Snit does a great job at that, of getting everyone on board, relaying messages, relaying thoughts, getting feedback from the players on how they feel about certain situations. But at the same time, Brian Snitker is going to do what he thinks is best for the 26 Braves on he has available that day. And whether that's going to upset some people, sure. But that's what he's there to do. And I think he does a great job at it. He's going to listen to what you have to say. He's not just going to, tell you do this, do that, and send you on your way. No, he's open-minded. He wants feedback. Like I said, it's a pretty close-knit group in that clubhouse, and it's constant communication. And trust me, the Braves are, they're communicating with themselves through all this, scheduled off days and non-scheduled off days.
Do you think that kind of mindset kind of got developed with how long he spent as a minor league coach? It seems like that's a little bit more of something you get in the minors, where you get a lot more close knit between the players and the coaches. Obviously you're kind of floating in and out on teams, but that kind of seems like a, hey, everybody gets their opinions heard, and we kind of have a round table discussion.
For sure. Cause in the minor leagues, you're dealing with a lot of, like I said, a lot of different personalities, different situations. And, a lot of the times the manager in those situations, especially, years ago when Snit was managing, that was who you went to. That was who you went to for, anything at the point. When you had any advice or any problem come up, you went to the manager. So I think, his experience has allowed him to be able to handle these type of situations pretty easily. I say easily, but easier than most, because he's, you know, he's such a coach. He's such a player's coach, and everyone has a lot of respect for him. And that's just, you know, is it hard for him? Yes. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's his job to make those tough decisions, make those calls. And, you know, Brian Snitker is going to do what's best for the Atlanta Braves. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I think his experience over the years definitely helps him kind of move through some of these situations he's having to go through.
Now, speaking of all those situations, we've had quite a few of those this year. And I think some of it is, I don't want to say overblown, because in Major League Baseball, you're talking about right now, we're getting towards the end of the season. It's a 2-game lead over Philadelphia, and we're both playing bad.
Hey,
teams.
Dylan, you're cutting. I'm losing you. I'm losing you, man.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were kind of cutting out on me there. Yeah, keep going. My bad.
No, we're good. I actually lost you a little bit earlier. But speaking of the Braves and making those decisions, we're getting close to the end of a season here where it's been a far tighter race than I would have expected at all heading into this. This Braves team, to me, on paper, even without Ronald Acuna, is by far the most talented team in this division. So you're talking about getting close to the end of the season with the Phillies 2 games back now. And you're going to finish out the season playing the Phillies and I think the Mets is the final couple games of the season. How would you, if I'm putting you as the manager, how are you going to manage trying to make sure guys are rested enough for the postseason this year, knowing that you have such a tight race going in? Is it still just all hands on deck, or is that part of the area where you're going to have to try to figure some things out about maybe getting, Adrian Adrianza a start here at shortstop if Dansby needs a day or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with the seedings right now or the, you know, division or the remaining schedule, but, you know, I would definitely look, that's definitely going to play effect. Like, if we're only 2 games up and we got games against the Phillies, you know, I'm going to be all hands on deck against them. I might try to find an available day for somebody who I think needs a blow, but if we're needing a meaningful game, then it's going to be all hands on deck for me. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to be scoreboard watching, and, you know, maybe if we have a big lead on somebody, I'll get somebody out early. If we're down big, I'll get someone out early. Definitely kind of depends on how you know, the rest of those games or individual games shape up, because, you know, you can, you know, if you're housing somebody of multiple double-digit runs, you know, you pull your guy, I'll give him an extra breather there, things like that nature. For me, if I'm the Braves manager going against the Phillies, I'm all hands on deck. One, I'm trying to really create some separation, close this thing out. And two, it's the Phillies. Everyone wants to beat the hell out of the Phillies, so let's go beat the hell out of the Phillies.
Glad that's not just a fan thing.
I say that as I'm wearing a Philadelphia Phillies shirt right now. So
I'm assuming that's because of Bryce Harper, who's having just a colossal campaign.
Speaking of colossal campaigns,
how about Austin Riley this year, by the way? How about Austin Riley? The things he's done this year compared to what he's been in seasons past. I think you got a little bit with him in 19. Did you get to play with him at all as well, or did you just see him in Gwinnett?
We're at spring. Yeah, and he's still really good. I believe he's a little underrated at this point. I think he's underappreciated. And he's steady. He's a steady player. He's always been a steady player. I'm a big fan of him. I love watching him. I love that he's having a big year this year. So
I'm a big
Bryce Harper fan.
How big is he in person, by the way?
He's a big guy. Now, he's not as big as he once was. He's a little more leaner, a little more trim, which I think is a good thing, which I think has kind of allowed him to have the year he's having, a little more healthier, a little less heavier. Body feels a little fresher later in the year. But he looks good. He's a big guy. Now, he's not like, you know, 240 like he was a couple years ago, like big muscular, but he looks good. He's
taking a quick break from our interview with Lane Adams to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Get Upside. Hey, Braves fans, this is Dylan Short, host of Locked On Braves, with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas, every single time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right back to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50% or 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL for GetUpside in the iTunes or Google Play store today. Today's episode is also brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one so you can stream all of your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your best friend's girlfriend's login for all of your more important needs and activities. Well, there is a way to clear out all the clutter. I'm here to tell you about it today. All the entertainment without all of that hassle. It's a great way to finally get your act together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about it at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package.
Yeah, he's a big guy, but he's not as big as he once was, but he's still pretty strong, put together athlete.
Well, it's been good to see, and the Braves has needed him a lot because and we noticed the change. My partner Doc and I on TPS, who you were on with us before, we noticed this change in Austin at the very first Yankees series early in the year, where early in the year he was kind of late on everything. He was grounding the ball. He was kind of trying to do this level through the zone, not really swinging up type of this kind of old school, just create backspin type philosophy. And then it kind of looked in that Yankee series like he just got tired of it and just started lifting the ball again. And since then, you're starting to see the Austin Riley that everybody would compare to like a Troy Gloss type. You're just starting to see him. He's so big and strong that he doesn't even have to square it up to knock it 430. He just has to put the bat on the ball, get the barrel on the ball, and he's so strong, he can fend off everything.
Oh, for sure. That kid's country strong as they're going to get to, man. And he's got a beautiful swing. Sometimes, as a young hitter, we get up there, overthink it, maybe get in our own head a little bit. But he has such just refined, natural mechanics that I think if he just, focuses on just seeing the ball, hitting the ball, and, just kind of keep everything simple for him and not trying to do too much, like I said, he's going to be as good as any third baseman in your division. And, he's going to be a top third baseman in baseball. He's good, man. I'm a big fan. Big fan of him when I saw him. He was really young. It's really good to see him have the year he's having. Big fan of that guy. But yeah, you're right. I think it's so easy for him. He's so big and so strong. His swing's so good. He doesn't have to try to, juice balls or try to hit for power. He just has to, get up there, be consistent, be on time, and put the bat on the ball. And except he's about as, I think he grew up curling hay bales or something, but that kid's as strong as any kid I've been, played with naturally. He's got great bat path. And I think, once he kind of settles in, which you saw that this year, settles in, gets some confidence under himself and knows he can play at this level, I think he's only going to keep getting better and better because that guy, as far as mechanics go and work ethic and, the will to want to be really good, Austin Riley checks all those boxes for sure.
Kind of helps we can always bounce hitting ideas off of somebody like Chipper Jones as well. Gotta have a feeling that probably helps a little bit.
Doesn't hurt.
Now, speaking of this team, and now we're heading towards the end of the year. Were you like me once Ronald went down? Did you think there was any hope this Braves team was going to win anything?
Zero. I thought when Ronald was down, I thought it was done. And he went down. I thought the Mets were going to run away with it. And then they just, they
messed it all up.
They messed it all up. I didn't have a very positive outlook on the Braves when Ronald went down. We'll say that.
The good part is now it looks like they are going to get into a postseason. Whether or not they win the division, looks like they'll have a pretty decent shot at making a postseason team. But how does this team match up to you? We just saw Max Free in a game that the Braves needed desperately to win against the Giants if you bothered to stay up super late last night to watch. You saw Max go out there and shove. And we've talked about Max before, and Max Waskar is, I got to be honest to my Max Fried fans here, I'm about as big a Max Fried guy as you'll see. Waskar's taken a little bit of my love away. Waskar's kind of come out and been that new shiny, sexy toy, and he's kind of, you know, invaded my thoughts a little bit. But when you look at a guy like Max Fried, what he's able to do in linchpin, that being able to put him at number two in your rotation behind a guy like Charlie, how does that kind of help this Braves team setting up on postseason's run now that you actually have a veteran pitcher who's not just a veteran but is still at the top of his game like Charlie? You allow a guy like Max, who, yeah, he's 27 and he's had a lot of innings, but is still, I guess, relatively inexperienced. And just in pitching terms, it does take a little while for pitchers to really figure out everything. Where do you think Max is at, and where do you think this team is at in terms of like a playoff rotation?
I think they got the horses as far as the rotation goes. I think they got the guy. We got Charlie and Max. It's gonna depend on what kind of Max Freeman or Max Fried you get. But yeah, when Max is there, I mean, he's, you know, he's about as good as any lefty in baseball. And I think you know, having Charlie, you know, be the guy, you know, that game one guy, is gonna allow Max again to kind of settle into himself and be the Max Fried he's capable of being. So Max. One thing about Max is going to want the ball. A couple times, you know, he is still, like I said, kind of young and inexperienced. The pitching side of it, he can, you know, sometimes you got to watch for guys trying to, who want just a little bit too much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like kind of got their, kind of gang up speeds up on them. I think, you know, kind of letting Max fall into that game two starter or game two, you know, get the ball in that game two or whatever. That's going to be a big part. That's going to allow Max Fried to settle in and be, you know, hopefully the dominant Max Fried that he's capable of being.
He looks like a psycho too, by the way. He looks like that guy that's got that little bit of that Scherzer streak in him on the mound. He does not look like he ever is enjoying himself on the mound. He looks like he's trying to like stare into your soul and rip it out.
Oh yeah, he's all business, but he's a big softy off the mound. I'll let him fool you.
So this is my most important question. Who's got the better curveball, Charlie or Max?
I've never faced Morton, luckily. I don't know. I'm gonna have to stand pat on that one. I'm gonna have to play Switzerland. I don't know.
Okay, it's okay, because I'm still going to say Waskar's slider is probably one of the nastiest pitches in baseball.
Anything breaking over 90 miles an hour is pretty damn nasty, that's for sure.
Did you get to see Waskar a little bit in Gwinnett, too?
No, I just missed him.
Okay, so that he's been my guy this year just because this idea, and I this is off script, but I have to talk to a player about this. This idea of Waskar being a two-pitch pitcher drives me absolutely batty. So can you please verify for my listeners that just because your main pitches are a fastball and a slider does not mean that you only throw two pitches, that you can throw three sliders and it's three pitches?
Yeah, you can have different shapes of breaking balls. Like they're, you know, you can have a sweeping slider, a sweeping curve, or, you know, a harder slider or a slower slider. Yeah, and that definitely has an effect, because, you know, if the guy has two sliders, one at, you know, mid to lower 90s and one to mid to upper 80s, so those are two different pitches you got to really be aware of. So, yeah, I think it sort of doesn't play as two pitches. It plays it more two and a half to three. It favors three if you're going to round up. But I think it's more that, you know, you're not just set on two pitches if they're coming at different velocities, best for sure, or different angles.
It's like saying that Jacob DeGrom can't be as good if he just throws fastball and slider. Like, sure, if you 50% guess, you know what's coming in, but if you can't touch it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. If you can't hit it, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I knew exactly what DeGrom was telling me. I didn't sniff it.
Like Charlie, when he started getting good this year, what'd he do? He shelved the cutter and just started going fastball, curveball.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some guys stuff like they're just so explosive that you know it's coming. You still can't hit it. It's even tough to hit. So, and that's, you know, Waskar's one of those guys, it appears to be.
Now, we've seen a few of these guys kind of jump out this year, but getting to the playoff, and this is where we'll end for today, because I know you got more important things to do than talk to me. But as the Braves go into the postseason, how do you feel about this club heading into the playoffs? Do you think that they're a team that's kind of struggle a little bit once we get to the postseason teams? Or do you think they're a team that's built fairly deeply. I know the bullpen has had a little bit of struggles. We've also seen them be locked down at times. Guys like Tyler Matzek kind of raising their game. We've seen some Luke Jackson being full-on elite for almost all of this season. How do you think the Braves stack up in relation to the National League? Assuming, of course, everybody's going to pick the Dodgers to be that main team. But aside from that, how do you think the Braves stack up?
I think they're competitive. I mean, I think it's they're not going to lay down. I think they're going to compete. Not sure I would take them over the Dodgers as of now, especially without Ronald Acuna Jr. But you know, they're just as. I mean, if you look at, is this team as good as the 2019 Nationals? You know, that's how you look at. Can they spark together a run? Can they get hot at the right moment and put together a pretty good run? Absolutely. Will they? Who knows? But you know, anything can happen. That's why we play the games, and it's really honest, just about who gets hot at the right time. And Braves still has some players in that lineup without Acuna Jr. that if they get hot, you know, they roll. You know, Dansby Swanson is one of those guys. Ozzie Albies is one of those guys. Frazier is one of those guys. Duvall, you know, there's plenty of guys in that lineup that can, you know, that can really, you know, have big impacts on games. Same with their rotation. Max can be really good. Charlie can be really good. They have the horses to do it now. It's just a matter of will they or not.
I think that's ultimately the question that's got all the Braves fans kind of nervous, but that's what keeps the games exciting here as we head towards the playoffs. If you kind of know what's happening, then you know you're still excited if you're going well, but if you kind of have this kind of split, it kind of keeps the suspense going for the game. So I know you're going to be enjoying watching. There's nothing quite like playoff baseball when all the stakes seem to be getting bigger and bigger. I like that we get to the older playoff format a little bit, where you get breaks in between the games, so you kind of get to have everybody at least as fresh as possible. I know you're going to be excited for watching that. I guess I'll ask this. Are you with me picking the Dodgers over everybody? I mean, it's kind of hard to not pick a team that is able to just throw Cody Bellinger on the bench and be like, yeah, he's not really giving us the best chance to win. Let's just go out and get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. I mean, it's kind of hard to bet against a team that can do that.
Very hard. Like I said, if I had to bet on it, I'd probably take the Dodgers just because, you know, their the experience is there, the talent's there. And it's, you know, they're the Dodgers. And they were already the Dodgers. They went out and added Trey Turner and Max Scherzer, and now that just made them, you know, a little more dominant. But yeah, I think I might be with you on that. If I had to pick a favorite right now, I mean, I'd probably throw my hat in with the Dodgers.
I know it hurts both of our souls. I know it hurts you guys out there to hear me have to say that. But Lane, thank you so much for coming on, man. This has been a blast. I'm sorry I kept you so long, but really, really fun talking to you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, that was Lane Adams talking to you about why you should always get a player's perspective on everything. So thank you guys so much. We'll be back again tomorrow. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. And we'll be back on Locked On Braves.